Hey, Tacoma, what's up? John Doherty here for Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, always respectfully, and from time to time, even optimistically. Climate change affects everyone everywhere, so it's a massive worldwide project, but sooner or later, it's all driven by the collective decisions we make, all of us, and by that I mean all of us. We are seeing the effects right here in the Puget Sound, smoke from wildfires, loss of snowpack and glaciers and acidifying sound, the list goes on. And it's up to us to be aware and call on our government to make wise decisions everywhere, especially around climate change. If we fail around climate change, we fail everywhere. If we succeed around climate change, then we have a world in which we can succeed and the other challenges facing us as species can be addressed. There's a proposal to build a massive new warehouse complex in South Tacoma, which happens to be right smack dab over the major aquifer that we as Tacomans drink from right now, and which we will rely on more and more as summers get hotter, drier, and longer. Today I'm going to be talking with Ted Smith. He's a longtime resident of that South Tacoma neighborhood. He's a retired soldier and civil liberties and environmental justice activist. He's twice been elected to the South Tacoma Neighborhood Council and right now is chairman of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee in Tacoma. He works on water protection issues, which is our focus today. He does that here in Tacoma and around the country. So let's listen in to what Tim has to say about this burgeoning issue and what it could mean for our drinking water future and what you can do to make sure that that future is a viable one. So we're really happy to be talking with Tim Smith today. Tim, welcome to Climate Talk.
Hey, thank you, John, and hello, everybody out there in Tacoma.
Yeah, you're saying hello out there in Tacoma because you're stirring the pot back in Pennsylvania at the moment. So we're looking forward to having you out here again, probably sometime early summer. So let's get going here. There's a project that's been proposed down in South Tacoma, which is your bailiwick, as they say. And it's a very major warehouse project. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, what the impacts of that are and what concerns are about that. So before we get into that part, tell me a bit about what the South Tacoma Neighborhood Council is and what's your relationship to that council?
Well, I'm a long-term resident of the South Tacoma from way back when I was serving in the Army at Fort Lewis. That's my first relationship, bought my first car in 84 in Tacoma. I've always loved the area and I was very fortunate to live in South Tacoma near the Tacoma Mausoleum where there's a thousand-year time capsule. And so in the morning when I would exercise, I'm a disabled veteran, but you know, I'd love to walk the neighborhood and get my coffee in the morning and see things. And I saw a flyer about the neighborhood council meeting. I didn't know what that was. And I had already been working in Tacoma doing a lot of activism for civil liberties and police oversight and my immigration issues. I said, well, let me go to one of these meetings. So I went to the meeting. It was my first meeting. They were accepting nominations for to be a director at large because they had an open seat. You covered all of South Tacoma. And the rules were such I could nominate myself, which I did, and I was unanimously elected. So then I became a member of the South Tacoma Neighborhood Council and really, you know, no political interest at all. I mean, I don't like that, any of the politics stuff. But Skip Vaughn was then the chairperson, and he was the individual who really helped the creation of neighborhood councils in Tacoma. It's the lowest level of citizen-driven open government within Tacoma. And the South Tacoma Neighborhood Council is one of the strongest because it has three councilmanic districts. You've got, you know, the Pierce County council persons. You have really amazing input and leadership back then. In year 2000, I think the South Tacoma Neighborhood Council was Neighborhood Council of the United States. Got a special. So I listened a lot. And I it was a place to get... Because of its design and how it functions, it's a place for the people to really get their representatives to come talk to, whether it's fire department, police department, whatever the issue is. You come to the neighborhood council and they can work and directly provide input for this for the resident to its government. I think one thing that Skip always reminded me of why we had it, he goes, you know, it's right out of the open government law. It says the people of this state do not yield their sovereignty to the agencies that serve them. The people in delegating authority do not give their public servants the right to decide what is good for the people. And Skip always reminded me of that. And he said, that's why we exist. Skip was an advocate for open spaces, worked very hard to create a park, a Wapato Hills Park as you come into entryway off of I-5. He did a lot to protect the southern portion of South Tacoma from, they were going to do hyper development, but that's the Air Force crashed a plane there once. So we have to try to keep the scope of development there in line with not infringing on JBLM. Skip was that kind of person. The neighborhood councils have just come through the virus. They're cranking back up. And the South Tacoma Neighborhood Council was thinking about the area where this warehouse complex is going to be built. We're trying to see what we could do. So I was kind of asked some questions and I gave some answers from things that I'd known because I'd worked on this same area back when I was sitting on the neighborhood council.
So neighborhood councils, is that a common thing around the United States, or are we blessed to have neighborhood councils here in Tacoma?
We are very blessed to have the program that we have. And there are other areas that have developed it. I can't say it's a universal thing, but Tacoma clearly was a leader in this process way back at the end of the last century. And it was derived from that thing I read you about open government. I think the city, persons in the city, didn't believe that the government was responsible to them. And trailblazers like Skip Vaughn and others pushed to have these created. They're independent. So that's another thing. They're not part of some city government. They actually are all independent nonprofit corporations. They generally have a contract with the city. City gives them a little bit of money, like seed money for mailings and things that they can do. But they operate on their own as part of the governmental possibilities that are possible for all residents.
Okay, well, that's good. I've got a good understanding, so thanks for that. So let's talk about another thing that you mentioned there, and that's the South Tacoma Economic Green Zone. What is a what is an economic green zone?
It's actually an old idea. It's an old idea that came from Skip Vaughn. So, I mean, I can't take any credit for it. But in talking about this, it was a vision for this area where the warehouse is being built. Here in the middle, in the heart of South Tacoma, we have about 260 acres that have been used by us occupiers, the people that took this land from the natives and completely changed what it was from a wonderful marsh wetland sitting right on top of the most significant aquifer in this part of South Puget Sound, a verdant place. We filled the marsh in. We then decided the Northern Pacific Railroad was coming. So they bought the marsh. They bought the swamp. What a deal. But they took the swamp and filled it in and built the Northern Pacific Railroad yard. After they went away and it was used for an airstrip, we realized the contamination was there. And so it became a Superfund site and under remediation. 30, 40 years of work on that place. And Skip always said, no matter what, Tim, we got 260 acres of open ground out there. And we can either let that go into an industrial warehouse filled production area, or there is still a possibility that we can save this from harmful overdevelopment or create some kind of special area, some special zone where we do environmental businesses or environmental industries or things that don't harm the aquifer, don't harm the groundwater, and enhance the health of South Tacoma. So that was the idea. So the proposal is part of a two-phase process as we're at right now. First, there is already an existing protective overlay district for a good portion of South Tacoma to protect the aquifer and centered on this 260-acre brownfield site. Okay, that's the core of the groundwater protection district, not just to protect the surface water, surface runoff, but this very complex aquifer, which actually has three different levels way down below Tacoma. We're so blessed with this thing. So the idea was, let's review the groundwater protection district. That's in Tacoma City Code. All right. It has a distinct piece of the Tacoma City Code just for the groundwater. And it's been there for a long time. At least the late 90s is when the city put it in the code. So 1306.070 is where this is residing in the code. That code even specifies and suggests that every 10 years it should be reviewed. Science changes. So we want to review this code in light of current science and what we know about the aquifer itself and groundwater and industry. So one of the things, as we were trying to figure out what to do with the space and come forward with the groundwater, the green economic zone, that was phase two. Phase one is, let's look at the code, adjust the code, and then let's think a little forward. The code is about, is what I call a protective code. all of the city code. We're trying to protect something or moderate, control something, which we never do. We always find a way to get around what the code says. So the idea of the economic zone was to create code that was more performance-based. You know, you will help you bring your business here. We'll help you build a hemp furniture production factory that's totally off the grid, solar powered, collects all the rainwater, uses locally grown hemp to make hemp furniture. Okay. And only employs people from within South Tacoma. So it's a performance based. If you meet all those, then ding, ding, here's your spot. And create a new standard and change the way we think about empty space within an urban area, especially given the impact prior industry has had. We still suffer those environmental justice inequities in South Tacoma more than anywhere else in the city. So that was the goal of the green economic zone is still, we can't just say no to industry, although I want to. I think we should restore it to the marsh that it was. That's ultimately the EPA intent for a groundwater protection district. We have this in the code because the EPA said, you need to put it in the code. You're screwing up the groundwater. That was 30 years ago.
So we
could do better. It's just better. It's not setting up a whole series of barriers for what could happen there. It's setting up a series of performance-based goals for someone who wants to have that option, that privilege to say on their products, this is from a green economics. You can't find that anywhere else on the West Coast.
Yeah, I take your point that we're always working towards something that's better, knowing that nirvana is not on the agenda for us. Although we
that's right.
Although so, we can dream about that.
You have to have your position to maybe compromise from. So a marsh right. Wetland is mine, and we'll just back off.
Well, I hear you, and I would. There's a, you may have seen it sometime, there's an old pen and ink drawing of the tide flats before it started being developed. And that's the same thing. It was an extensive and beautiful marshland full of wildlife and ecological diversity and so on. And of course, now it's all just gone. And that's a little bit what you're talking about. And so I get.
But you can also look at how just some simple changes in the Nisqually Delta, and when Mother Nature does what Mother Nature does best and removes man's traces of destruction from it, it gets restored. I know people have walked the marshes down at Nisqually, that estuary, and you're so right, John. I too think of how, having spent a lot of time on the tide flats at the Northwest Detention Center at another Superfund site, I've always wondered, I said, I'm standing here in what used to be water.
Yeah.
Yep. It was a marsh. This was over there close to where the detention center is built, is where was a small island that we've leveled out. And that's where the Puyallup tribe did a lot of their funeral services. Hmm. And now it's a warehouse.
Yeah.
And it's just
Well,
it's beyond belief sometimes. If we can roll it back.
So we can hang on to that nirvana vision a little bit as we work in the trenches in the real world here. So we're going to talk about this warehouse project a bit here, just to have an idea of what it is. But in talking about the economic green zone, it almost sounds to me like this warehouse project proposal turns the economic green zone concept on its head.
For me, understanding what they're getting ready to do or what the framings of the plan is in complete contravention, in my view. Another part of the city, I said the city's got two personalities. There's a part of the city's personality which is very clear about what should or shouldn't happen over this aquifer, okay? May I just read a little bit right from the city code?
There are actually parts of it
that are quite eloquent.
Okay.
I think it's very important to understand why this warehouse complex that's proposed The South Tacoma, this is from the city code.
Yeah.
The South Tacoma groundwater aquifer system serves as a significant source of drinking water for the city of Tacoma. It may supply as much as 40% of the city's total water demand during periods of summer usage. It has been found and determined this, details about water contamination, but most importantly is this statement talks about.
Listening to your description of this warehouse project, it sounds almost like this turns the concepts behind the economic green zone on its head.
You know, John, it's interesting because the green zone is, because it's not been captured in code yet, is still something that's down the road. There are aspects to the development of the green zone that should require this developer to meet. But because we don't have them in the code yet, you're right. It can really impact what we want it. what we've wanted to do with the Green Zone. But more than that, the warehouse complex, you know, is going in where we in South Tacoma have already absorbed businesses and industries that are exceptions and have variances to the existing code. Okay. So that's why the Green Zone program is so important. We have to stop the next project that finds its way around the existing groundwater protection district. And this is why in our own city code, and this is, I want to read this. This is what we should be doing. It says the declaration of policy in order for the city of Tacoma to maintain its groundwater resources within the South Tacoma Groundwater Protection District as near as reasonably possible to their natural condition of purity. The Groundwater Protection District is supposed to be very, very restrictive in its nature.
Yeah.
We've let on top of the aquifer just recently, Sutter's Metals, it's a metal chop shop located right on one of the most, we've already remedied what, which was the most contaminated portion of the Superfund site. We located a business that we know is cutting up and processing metal could theory expose the soil and the groundwater to runoff from contaminations. Now they have built a system that may or may not be working, but that is a specific business that's not supposed to be located in zone one of the groundwater protection district. Right next to it is a big chemical plant that makes hot tubs with chemicals that they use to make the fiberglass that, again, if there's a leak, we're right there. That's why we have the groundwater protection district, which hasn't been fulfilling all it's supposed to, and why we want to have a green economic zone development code in the future. It's so important to realize this complex is going to be 50 football fields big. There's going to be 5,000 or more vehicle trips per day, and about 1,400 of those are delivery trucks 24/7. You're going to have an impact in the light quality. You're going to have lights on the warehouse. You're going to have noise issues related to compressors and air conditioners. And there are already people living around this facility that bought homes to be where they are because it's relatively quiet. And so you're going to have, I know at least one specific family made a big financial decision, modified a house, and chose to live right where they live because it was quiet. All of those are health impacts that have not been considered part of this plan and are separate from the green economic zone, but have to be examined. So I still think there's time. The reason that the green economic zone was actually pushed back, split in half, okay? Originally, it was one combined proposal. We'll look at the Groundwater Protection District code, and while we do that, we will update business lists and incorporate performance-based incentives as part of the Groundwater Protection District. The city staff said that's too complicated, so they kind of split it in half. The first half is to do the code review for the existing code, and then the second half will be a work plan to develop what is a green economic zone. I can't really tell you what it is, but I know what I don't want it to. This warehouse is not part of that.
Yeah, okay, so we can just take a quick second here, kind of a big picture view. So what I'm hearing you say is that South Tacoma neighborhood is not necessarily opposed to developing this area. What they're opposed to is this kind of project that has these huge impacts with possible damage to the aquifer versus industry businesses that are green in the sense of they're environmentally friendly, they're sustainable, they employ folks from the area and so on. So that sounds to me like what we're looking at, that kind of comparison. Do I have that pretty close?
Well, first I want to be very clear because we're really new in the process of this warehouse assessment and challenge. So I would no way speak for the South Tacoma Business District, nor do I want to speak. I'm not a member of the neighborhood council, but I don't want to speak for them for what their intents are, what they want. I know, for example, the South Tacoma Business District didn't even get told about that. They only found out about it because we started asking questions. So they're still trying. They would try to assess their position, and I don't want to speak for them.
Okay.
I know that there are key people on the neighborhood council that would be supportive of kind of the middle road, holistic approach to development out there, as well as some of us that say, no, I don't want it. And why I know I don't want the warehouse at all. It's not only is it going to jeopardize the water that we rely on drinking during drought and climate change. We're very fortunate last summer. We didn't go into any heavy drought stuff because we had to activate the well system. We got 14 wells down, great wells that are right now in need of funding and a major upgrade. The city should make that a priority to upgrade the wells and do the repairs that need to be done. That's water that's going to be crucial. The congestion, it's already got the worst air quality in the system. I can't imagine 1,500 diesel trucks. I mean, even an offset to that is it's served by Tacoma Rail. Why are you bringing in trucks? Why can't they come in at least on trains? Also, the highest illness and mortality rates in Pierce County and the lowest income and most diverse neighborhood in the city. Just the consideration to put this warehouse there is a giant chunk of environmental racism made relevant. Every study that you would see about warehousing in impacted communities, there'll be a whole class at PLU on this in a year.
Yeah.
So well, no, I would think that I speak for many people that do not want this warehouse, and I don't want to speak for the businesses, and I don't want. But the key things you did mention, at making the developer employ local people, make sure it's union, because there's a big fear from labor unions that this is actually going to be like an automated warehouse. It'll just be a giant building and robots will do the work inside. The trucks will come in and out and everything will be processed automatically. Or a data warehouse where there may not be a lot of trucks, but it's going to consume a lot of electricity because it's a giant data warehouse. Or yep. Maybe even the worst scenario would be, because we don't know who's going to build the warehouse. Okay, the plan is to zone it and make it possible for warehouses. We just don't know who's going to bite on it. Imagine an Amazon drone delivery system that it's sending drones delivering products all over Tacoma.
Yep. Doesn't sound like something that serves the community. So you mentioned climate change. We've talked about the aquifer just a little bit. So one of the impacts we can expect coming from climate change is change in rain patterns, change in snowpack and things like that. And if and when that occurs, then that aquifer will become more important to us in terms of having a reliable supply of water. So can you connect the dots a bit on what I've just said in terms of concerns about the aquifer and maintaining that aquifer?
One of the aspects of our request to review the Groundwater Protection District is, again, new best science. And while the current Groundwater Protection District code mentions the aquifer, and we know quite a bit about it because we've been using the aquifer since the 20s in South Tacoma for our well system and for to augment our water supply that we get from the Green River. Understanding how complex it is has been one of the things I've actually enjoyed in the process. So to understand this, the aquifer is a complex series of layers, and they're broken out into three parts. There is a shallow aquifer that lies under South Tacoma primarily out into kind of Lakewood. So that's one layer. Then there's a sea level aquifer. So this is a little bit deeper even than Puget Sound. So that's another aquifer. And then there is a deep aquifer. So there's really three layers to this water cake. Most of the water for the sea level and the deep aquifer is part of a 180-mile aquifer recharge area that goes all the way up into the foothills. And we just happen to be sitting right there because of geological reasons between the Tacoma Fault Line and Puget Sound, that area that constitutes basically South Tacoma, this zone, out through Lakewood, down to the south towards JBLM, is the tip of that 180-acre recharge zone. But there's a specific recharge zone that sits around our South Tacoma well field. We have 15 potential wells in South Tacoma, okay, that we can use. Of those, only 13 are currently available. What has been removed, that's well 12A, that's part of the South Tacoma Superfund site. It's been a well we've been trying to fix for, 25 years. Having some real success lately in the last 2 years, changed how we're fixing that part of the how the well is cleaning the aquifer there, removing the contaminants that came from an old minor fuel storage area that leaked. That 12A might actually go back into service. I mean, that's a possibility. We have another well way down, I think it's well 17, the south end near Lakewood, because we get part of that shallow level aquifer that I was talking about. The first layer comes in from Lakewood, and that has been contaminated at Joint Base Lewis-McChord with PFAS, which is a chemical used in any, your Teflon cookware, but mostly in the old fire retardant foam. That got down into water. It's a forever chemical. So it was found in that South Tacoma well, which sadly was the one well people could get unfluoridated water in Tacoma. So, yeah, I know a lot of people who were really sensitive to like Tacoma water, but don't want the fluoride and would use that well. That well was out of service until because of the PFAS. So we do, while we have this code and this protection stuff, we have a very complex aquifer. It's not addressed in there. And so part of the groundwater protection district update was linking some, we have so many agencies responsible for the aquifer, okay? Tacoma Water, Pierce County Health Department, which administers, actually in charge of enforcing our code, our city code. They're the ones who have the authority to fine somebody and all that kind of stuff. State Department of Ecology, EPA, a lot of disparate organizations that need to come together with the goal of understanding that aquifer. And you have to, it's important. 40% of our potential potable or drinking water comes from that South Tacoma aquifer in the summertime when the green water gets low, Green River gets low.
So we pull water out of the aquifer. So presumably that water has to be replaced or the aquifer ends up being emptied. So how does that water get replaced?
Again, out of that 180 square miles, we're getting replenishment. We're probably pumping water out of the South Tacoma field that may have entered the aquifer recharge maybe 100 years ago. But that doesn't mean that we're not depleting it. That's why we don't use it a lot. We don't tap it. The wells. And so there's a sophisticated understanding by Tacoma Water. They understand the aquifer. They know how hard a well can pump water out of the sandy, rocky, silty, glacial till that's down there out without hurting it and out impacting the aquifer by sucking out too much water. But that's not enough. No matter the science and what we think is flowing in, we know that upstream in the aquifer, more and more of the recharge areas are being covered by massive warehouse complex. We're cutting down the forests. As you go further into the foothills, this more and more massive development that is diverting surface runoff that comes from the rain, we're getting less rain, puts it in a pipe, sends it to a stream, and flushes it to out to Puget Sound as opposed to letting it soak the soil. So in South Tacoma, one impact with this warehouse is we will be taking 160 acres that are now absorbing water, absorbing rain, filling the top, the bottom end of that aquifer for us, and we're going to be taking that out of service. There's a lot, so it'll be permeable. The water will hit this warehouse, hit the sidewalks, hit the parking lot, and go into, they're trying to create an infiltration system that will let that water continue to soak down into the ground. But it doesn't work like, you know, it's water sometimes needs time, it needs to percolate, and what doesn't quite fill the pond, there'll be overflow. A lot of that is not clear to me. We're still looking at the plans and have to assess it, but it will have a direct impact on the infiltration to the aquifer within zone one.
Well, it does seem a little shaky to me, to the idea that rain is going to come down and hit buildings and pavement and stuff like that, then filter down into the aquifer. But I don't know. I'm not an expert in that area. So
I'm not either.
So, and I'm going to personally take a look and see if I can find more about that, because it does seem like a critically important thing as the climate changes, my guess is we're going to become more and more dependent on that aquifer than we are right now, especially for longer, drier, hotter summers, which are pretty much baked into the system. So we're getting close to the end here. So one of the things I'm wondering about is, where is this project in terms of approvals, permits, things like that?
Right now, we're in a rather critical phase. Because of the history of this area, and that there have been years of work, previous ventures to try to build a warehouse. So a lot of the coding and environmental work that you need as a developer in this city have been already accomplished. And they happen in these little tidbits, and the citizens don't catch that that's happened. We never have a chance to have a say in that. So now when this Bridge Industries came forward with their proposal and submitted their plan, the city then has to provide notification of that. And when that came out, that's really where we were very concerned that not enough people knew that what was happening. So we're in a spot now where, because of outreach and a request from the neighborhood, South Tacoma Neighborhood Council can request a public meeting, okay? Anybody up till now, anybody who got the notice that this, you know, you get a little postcard. Hey, they're going to build a giant, you know, 50 football field size warehouse out there, and you can comment by March 10th. So that was the original notification. We said that's too fast. So I requested via personal letter an extension on the meeting time or the comment period. And the neighborhood councils, as well as five other persons who get that notification under city code, can request a public meeting. So we just had that approved yesterday. The public meeting is going to go forward. So we're kind of take a little sigh of relief that we don't have to have our comments in by Thursday at 5. Okay. So we've got more time. What we don't have all the specifics yet, but according to Shirley Schultz, who's the city planner who's working this specific plan, we'll have that public meeting no earlier than March 31st. And then when that, they're working with the neighborhood council. The neighborhood council requested the meeting. The neighborhood council's got a big piece of this pie. So they're still working out those details. It'll be a Zoom meeting. The current planning, that's her title, manager, Janet Magoon, will be the moderator. And there are some specific rules about, it's not a hearing, it's a public meeting. There's a difference between those two things. So people should not get their expectations up about what they'll be able to do at this public meeting. It is contained in city code, lays out what the city has to do and not do. But the point being, it's a chance for people to hear a more fully developed understanding of the plan. Doesn't mean the city's made any decision yet. They're going to still take public comments 7 days afterward, and then they'll make a decision on the plan. The primary reason for this will probably get, it's true, the reason to collect all the comments even now or up until this meeting or even after is to feed those directly to the developer so the developer can adjust their plan. So as we raise our concerns, the developer might go, oh, yeah, that's right, and then propose something that, no, it's what it is.
Yeah.
So afterwards, that's like the near-term struggle for the plan is getting through the meeting, getting our comments together, understanding exactly what's happening. The city will then make a decision. Either they'll make a determination of non-significance saying, okay, we heard you all. Go ahead, Bridge Industries. Okay. And there will be some other plans that will work, but that's one option. The city could say, no, this is a significant thing. And so that's what people have to be writing in their comments, that this is a significant event. It's over a critical hydrologically sensitive area, also addressed by state code, and requires a complete and full review. So we want a full SEPA examination of the facility, not just a brief cursory look at a checklist, but a full in-depth overview and look at the facility. If that doesn't happen, if the city has issued the determination of non-significance, then it'll be have to be a decision on everybody concerned. But I know I will be taking it personally and with other people to the next phase, which would be to the hearing examiner. Tacoma, the hearing examiner, can then review the city's decision on this, take public testimony near courtroom level, submission of comments and facts and regulations to show how the city made a bad decision. And then the hearing examiner's decision will then be final. So that's for me, that's about as far out as I can see. You know, and the crystal ball is pretty clear. Ouija board is working today. So yeah, that's probably where we'll be at the hearing examiner somewhere, probably in May or June. I don't know.
Well, at least we can say some short-term success in terms of opening up the timeline for comments from individuals.
Oh, we ran out of time.
Are you still picking me up okay?
Hello?
Hey, there you are.
Hey, you still there?
Yep. Well, I'm back is what I am. Who knows what happened?
I was just getting ready to call you, but yep. I'm going to turn my phone back off. So where were we? I don't know. I was running at the mouth.
So, yeah. Well, people that do interviews are people who like to talk. That's just the way it works.
It's all based on stuff. None of this is like, I mean, I'm an old Army intelligence guy. You've got the publications and records and documents, and you've got this magic of Google and the internet.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So we've got these.
We were talking about where we are in the status.
Yeah,
I think right about the time we got cut off, and again, I think we were at a good culmination point.
Yeah, we were. We're real close to the end here. So I'll kick us back in here. So it seems like we can celebrate to an extent, at least get an extension on the time that the public can comment on this. And this meeting coming up should be a good one. So a couple questions about that meeting. Do you expect that there's going to be this 1 minute time limit kind of thing at this public meeting, or are folks going to be able to make their points?
I want to make sure I've got the correct emails. Okay. I don't want to misquote the city. I mean, the worst thing you could do is misquote the city. Let's see. I'm quoting from Shirley Schultz. She's the one who's going to be working out the agenda and stuff. Typically, the agenda is a pretty short introduction from staff about the review criteria, the process for the permit, and a presentation from, in this case, Bridge Industry. Their participation is voluntary. Bridge doesn't have to say anything. Typically, they'll try to dominate the meeting and have as much time as they can. And then there's public comment. Now, it's not a question and answer. If the city staff knows what the questions are, then so when you send a comment saying, have you looked at the impact on aquifer infiltration ahead of time in a comment, then the city staff will try to have an answer for them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So like you can stand there and ask them a question. So the meetings are generally held on Thursday evenings. I don't know what date that might rally out. Again, we're walking with, it'll be before March 31st. I think that the level and time of participation for comments will be controlled somewhat, but what amount of time? I think the real key to this is not to be frustrated by that. I think a lot of people like to have that stand up, you know, First Amendment painting, Norman Rockwell kind of, here's my chance to have my say. And I fully support that. But the real key is for folks to take some time, look through the links that we're sending here to talk about this meeting. You should be able to see them here on the webpage associated with this broadcast and write some good comments. And if you have asked the hard questions, why are you violating state code about aquifer infiltration and recharge here? Why are you not considering this? Why don't we put a moratorium on this until we further develop and understand what we're doing to this aquifer? The Tacoma Water folks right now have a big project going on that involves the wellhead protection plan. This is addressing the aquifer in a slightly complementary fashion to the city code. The groundwater or the wellhead protection plan is a way to assess that infiltration area. They're not going to be done with that till later in the fall. We don't need. I don't see us running out of warehouse space right now. Okay, so I'm not sure why this should be such a pumped up priority for such an immediate approval when there's so many questions and so many aspects to this that are not in support of not a reflection of what the neighborhood wants.
Yeah,
neighborhood wants.
I think I hear you. So this is a very significant project. And why do we need to rush into this? Let's make sure that we know what we're talking about and that we don't do damage to this aquifer, which is going to become more and more important over time.
And just the open area. This is the last 260 contiguous acres of open area in South Tacoma. Part of this is almost a land bridge for our wildlife species that still live in an urban area. It's part of the big lung of South Tacoma in an area that's so impacted with air pollution. Let it do its part to remove that. There's just so many things that are not clearly as the city has classified this as light industrial and of no significance to the environment. And that's just not true.
Got it. So as we finish up here, I'll just say I am expecting a significant number of references from you, Tim. Those will be on the show notes. I'll give everybody a link to the show notes with the outro. But anything else you want to throw in here before we call it a day?
I think it's very important as we, again, remember that we're on stolen land and the concept of that water is life and we have been blessed with this precious, precious resource. We have an obligation not only to ourselves and to businesses, but to our future grandchildren. We have a deep legacy and obligation to the spirits of all those indigenous people who once used this very same space to fish and to hunt and to live and to find sustenance. And so let's do our best to honor that and not just acknowledge it, but actually do something about that. So thank you, John.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Tim. That's an inspiring way of looking at things. And thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks to Tim Smith for his cogent and energized presentation of the very significant issues that the South Tacoma neighborhood is facing in terms of this major project, a project that directly affects all of us who get our drinking water from the Tacoma Public Utilities. You can access show notes for this conversation at ccltacoma.org. Just look for the Climate Talk link and it will take you right to the show notes for this show. Those show notes are packed with reference materials to get you to a full understanding of what's going on with this project, what the concerns and worries are, and how you can raise your voice during the decision-making process. I'd love to hear from you about this or any other show or with ideas for future shows. You can contact me at John, J-O-H-N, at cclTacoma.org. That CCL part is for Citizens Climate Lobby. I'm an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby. Check it out. Good people, good ideas, working for a livable future. If not CCL, find somebody else that you like and go to work with them. Also, a reminder that this program and all other locally produced programs are available on the KTAH website. Just do an internet search, find the website, and you'll find the archive under programming. Great talking with you once again, and reminding you, as always, live like the mountain is out. Take care now.